We're talking about the Chacham, about and all the mistakes basically that the Chacham makes, as horrible decision making in life, as chitzonis attitude to everything, and really like, and we're going to soon get into the Tam, because we say Sur Mera Ve'Asei Tov. Before we learn how to do it right from the Tam, let's learn how to do it wrong. We can learn more of the mistakes of the Chacham than what the Tam is doing right, because what the Tam is doing right sometimes like beyond our comprehension, but we can learn, you know, Shalom Asani Goy, Shalom Asani Ovid. Sometimes the negative is a little bit stronger. So we're learning about the negative first. So what happens? So he's looking at the world and he becomes, we'll pick it up here, that he becomes a great gold cutter, and he works in gold, and he learns it really fast. And he says, listen, you know, this may not be good for a long time. Maybe good, maybe the price of gold will go down. Now we're up to Daf Kuf Zayin, if anybody has it. We have Kuf Zayin, where he starts talking about here. Again, he starts talking about, thinking about his philosophy. Lilmo doctori, to learn to be a doctor. Good Jewish profession. That it's something that's always going to be needed to be a doctor. Meaning gold may go down in value. But being a doctor, people are always going to be sick, getting sick, and I'm going to have to heal them. But there are limud doctors that should learn more mikodim lashon al tayin, vaksav a little more chachmas philosophy. Vuhu machmas avaras olamur gam zos bezman muad berevashan a quarter of a year. He finished medical school, freshman, sophomore, junior. He just like ba 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 ba, and he like went through all the tests really quickly, and he became like a doctor really quickly. But as a doctor, gadol philosopher chacham bechol chachmas, and he also became a philosopher with that. He didn't want to just be a doctor; he also wanted to be a philosopher. So that's what he did. What happens? He's like riding on the top of the world here. He's like, I was working with gold, and I really made a lot of money with that, and I learned it really quick. And I'm learning. He also did something in the middle, by the way. Right? What did he do? He also learned something in the middle, and other things that he had, like art that he had to learn. So now I'm a doctor, and I'm a great, great doctor. And what does he say? I am such a smart person. I get things so quickly. I am such a great doctor, right? I don't identify with anybody in the world. I'm the lonely man, not of faith. That's what Rav Soloveitchik said, the lonely man of faith. I'm the lonely man here. Nobody, and Rav Soloveitchik, by the way, felt very lonely also. That was a very intellectual level, isn't he? I'm not comparing Chassid Soloveitchik to the Chacham, but you should know that the Mefarshim of Rabbi Nachman say that he dafka used the word Chacham. A Chacham is a good thing. He didn't use the word philosopher. Even though we see a philosopher come up, it's called Chacham V'tam. Yeah, in Achinami, a Chacham. Like it's not always the greatest thing. It feels very lonely. Nobody could identify with it in the world. I'm just better than everybody. You know, like I'm just, you know that the really intellectual guy in school that just can't make friends either. Not because he's socially awkward, but who's he going to talk to? Was he going to talk to people about the baseball game last night, about the Hawaiian chicken last night, about what's he going to talk to people about? He wants to think about philosophy. He wants to about, you know, all these writers and and thinkers. What was there to talk to? Again, this can happen to many levels of our lives. I could think that I'm too spiritual for everybody. I'm way beyond everybody. And something, to be honest with you, it's chatayinu miskir ayom, not that I'm anything that, I'm the opposite, but like, I'm impressive. I'm better than everybody here. They don't know what they're talking about. And that's part of being a chacham. That's not, we're just seeing one example of chacham here. I can't stand when people like use a story like this, chacham, to like show, it's the philosophers and the doctors, and it's also the rabbis. You know the loneliest person in the shul is usually the rabbi himself. How much I would love just to a guy to just go over and schmooze with them and talk to them, be their friend, because they don't have any friends, because they can't. They want to relate to people as friends, but they can't. So it's not only in this way; it's a spiritual way also. Nobody understands me. I'm so spiritual. Nobody gets me. It's the same thing. It's very lonely to be in that place when nobody else gets it, right? I tell Ami Bloom that he almost gets it. The Yishev Atzmo la'asus lo tachlis v'lisa isha v'amar b'dayto. And it's V'yishev Atzmo Okay, listen to these words, guys. You don't have it in front of you. I don't know if you have it in front of you. Lasot lo tachlit velisa isha. Listen to what he says. He's v'yishavatu. Now, he finally, he might, actually, it's the only time it just says v'yishavatu. He might have had a real hisbedus. And he says, wait, it's time to get married. But what does he look at marriage? What do you guys look at marriage? Why should you get married?
Didn't he say you never plan on getting married earlier?
At that time, he was like, I'm not ready for that, because that was the point of it. Then the life stinks and this and that. I want to tour the world. He's finished with that. He's done with that. He's lonely. He toured the world. He saw Spain. He saw France. He saw all these great things. He became a gold cutter. He became a doctor. But now maybe it's time to get married. Why would you get married?
I guess for him, he's trying to get married like to achieve something almost. And, like, it's like a thing off the
chain. Oh, very good. For him, it's v'yishavatu lasot lo tachlis. For the tachlis of moving on in life and bringing more children into the world and finding a real relationship. That's why a person gets married, to have a real relationship in the world, to have the most intimate relationship that a human being can have with another human being. Much bigger than a father and a mother, and much bigger than a brother and sister. The highest relationship that a person can have, the hardest relationship also. The hardest relationship is to a wife, husband and wife. But for him it was lasot lo tachlis, so I can do my tachlis. You know, like, yeah, people say you have to get married. Okay, I'll get married, right? It wasn't like there was no pnimi reason why to get married, right? He had no it was just to do a tachlis, like a guy in 12th grade. Okay, I'm gonna go to Israel for the year, to yeshiva for the year, because lasot lo tachlis. It's not because to reach my tachlis. Lasot lo tachlis. Israel becomes an end by it. It's not a means to an end. What the year in Israel is a means to an end, to live a thought out spiritual life, something higher, something greater, but became an end to itself. So once I come to yeshiva, I don't have to do anything, because I did it. I went to yeshiva like my parents wanted me to, like right? My dream is to start a birthright called We Were Brave Enough Not to Come to Yeshiva. To get a free trip to Israel, went to vacation, 10 days, beautiful trip to Israel. Kol hakavod that you decided not to go to Israel and not to waste your year here. Kol hakavod to you guys. Okay. No. But the problem is nobody really knows if they're going to waste a year or not. That's a problem. So why should you take a risk with that? I'm not opening that. Okay, but it's very important. V'yishavatu lasot lo tachlis. Sometimes we do things in life. Sometimes people have children in life just because, like, that's what people do. You know, I can't be in the park alone without children. Sometimes, like, I don't respect these people at all, but I mean, there is a free-thinking aspect in when, like, these couples, like, don't want to have children, they just want to have a dog. But they don't have a child. They're bothersome. They're annoying. They're hard to deal with. I can't achieve in my life with children. Right? Okay, so it's a wrong hashkafa and everything like that. But and factually, they're right. I mean, you know, whether that leads to loneliness, that's a separate question. But at least they're honest with what they're doing. They're not doing things just to do things. Lasot lo tachlis, so that he can make that. Yeah, I'm a normal human being. Right now, he's like becoming an older bacher. He's already 33 years old. He's not married. People are starting to say, and we're saying soon by you and everything like that. And you heard enough of that. And Mirta Hashem, you know, you're looking for a girl. And he got so sick of it. He's like, okay, I'll just get married. Last so slow tachlis. So I could be like, you know, it's embarrassing not to be married, because a guy like me, I'm a doctor and this and that. Yeah, you know, I know how many women must have come up to me and says, you're a doctor and you're not married? Wow, we should get you married. What a successful doctor, a rich doctor not getting married. Wow, and you're so smart. You know how many people probably said that to him? So he says, you know what, let me just last so slow tachlis. Let me just do it to play the game of life, right? To play the game of life. You have children, so you can have Chana. It's like the ultimate childbearer, you know, in terms of like not having a child and then having a child. She had Shmuel to give him to Hashem, not say she could go to the park and Shmuel is all her friends and not feel out of place. It's a very hard thing also for a woman who doesn't have a child to go to a park. It's a very, very hard thing. But that's not why she had a child. She had a child to give to Hashem. So it's a very important point that he wants to get married, but he didn't think about marriage at all and why marriage would be good for him. Marriage is going to be horrible for him. And by the way, we never see him get married. Well, we'll see in a minute. We don't see anything about him getting married. He might have got married. It's irrelevant. He doesn't want to have a real relationship. He's going to be lonely with his wife too. There's no way that he's going to say to his wife, oh, I'm so sorry for hurting your feelings. There's no way this guy's going to say that. V'amar b'dayto, and he says into his mind, listen to this. Em esa isha bekan If I get married to a woman here, wherever he was at that point, maybe Spain, I don't know where he was at that point, somewhere in Europe running around, successful doctor, because if I get married now, nobody will give me respect of like, look what you came out, but remember you were the poor boy, you were fumbling with the Tom, and you built yourself up, wow. No one would say that. Let me go home, and then people will be like, wow, look what you made out of yourself. A gold cutter, a famous doctor, a famous philosopher. Wow. Right? Sometimes like, it's a nice feeling going back to like our schools and everything like that. Like, wow, this guy was so successful in the yeshiva. And all the little rats out there saying, oh, he's successful. He's not successful. And then all the people playing God, like, wow, we had a long shmonas, he was successful. Wow, he was learning after davening. He's successful. Not yeshiva successful. Not successful. Everybody wants to be successful. Everybody's successful. Hey, I want to be successful. Nobody knows me from here. For all they know, I was born with a golden spoon in my mouth, and my parents paid for my medical school bills, and everything was easy for me. No, life was very hard for me, and I have to show people that I had to work in life, and I have to get respect for it. He needs that respect. Okay, that's another very, very negative thing, to do things to need respect. Oh, yo. In the Kutim Maharan, Kuf Tzadik Dalid, he has a mashal that there's this one tsar, there's one like a big officer. Well, let's say we'll say the king, and he had like an officer under him, and he sent his officer to this far out land, and the guy came there, and he came with a lot of like buttons and ribbons, and he was a tsar, and they said, wow, and they said, you the king? And he said, you know what? Why shouldn't I tell them I'm the king? They won't know the difference. Says, yes, I'm the king. Like, wow. They were always like so nice to him. They built him a big house. And everybody was like, oh, king. One day the king made a surprise visit there. And they all came up to, not the king, but they came up to the guy. Oh, our king. And our king says, what is this business? And the guy was so embarrassed. Because that's embarrassing. Rabbi Nachman says that if you try to take covet in this world, if you try to take covet from Hashem in this world, anytime you're taking your own covet, you're taking the covet of Hashem. Oy vavoy nolam haba. When the veil is taken off, and we see who the real cover goes to, and we're acting in this world as like, give cover to me, I'm the Rebbe, I'm the doctor, I'm the this, oy vavoy. So he says like this: Valavanos alabaiti went home. Vayelu yisroim gedolim baderech. He had very, very difficult times in the derech. Ki machmas chachmos loye im mi ledaber. He didn't know who to speak to. What, he's going to speak to the driver, the wagon, the driver? Crazy. You ever see like a bunch of academics get into the car? You think they ever speak to like, like the driver? No way. Yeah, I'm stereotyping. I'm totally stereotyping. But usually that's the way it goes. One time I was in a elevator filled with the deans from a certain college, very 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 educated people, right? And I was sitting in the back of the elevator. I was stuck in the back because I went in first. They came in, and and the elevator's sitting there. And I'm like, someone press a button there. And they're talking about English literature. Literally. English literature. And they're going back and forth and back and forth. It's going for 5 minutes now. And one professor goes, why isn't the elevator moving? And they're all looking, they're like, oh. And I scream in the back, I said, you have to press the button. They're like, oh, yeah, sure. Like, you had a physics professor in there. The chachma doesn't fit anymore. There's a true, it's a totally true story, I'm telling you.
It's the funniest thing I've heard.
Yeah. He said that with a very serious face.
Yeah, the funny. I was really sick. I was really sick. I would laugh more.
It's a very true story. I'm going to talk from the world. What am I going to speak? I'm going to speak to the driver. You know? I speak to Itzik, and he tells like there's some yeshivas that he goes with. Like, they don't say a word to him. Like, the Rebbeim or anything like that, they don't say a word to him. I only hang out with Itzik, you know what I mean? The other people go, word to the driver. The driver is, he's a driver. He has to get us from the... See, he comes so lonely. He doesn't have. He didn't find a hotel to his liking. Everything. No way. I'm not sleeping there. Oh no, I'm not sleeping there. No way. I'm not going there. I'm not going to such a place. Valo yisurin harbe, and he had horrible yisurin. Horrible pains. Okay. Now that the story takes a time out, we're not going to see him come back yet. Now we're going to rewind to the times. What's the time being this whole here. Time? Oh, so that's it. Okay, so Kufchet, you guys have it on yours. Hatamanal lamad meleches mitzanut. How to be a sandler. He took him a long, long time to learn. Again and again and again. Learning again and again and again and again. And he wasn't a baki in his amunah shleimus. He wasn't a good sandler. He wasn't a good shoemaker. No, he wasn't good. Vanasa Isha, he marries a woman. He doesn't think about marrying a woman. He doesn't decide this whole philosophy. Let me fulfill my tithes. And then naturally, okay, it's time to get married. He got married. He made very little money because he wasn't a good shoemaker. Nobody liked him on Facebook. Nobody had travel advisor. Nobody recommended him. Very few people really came to him. It's like crazy. I feel like this in Eretz Yisrael a lot. And these people are so busy, you can't get their like fixers or something like that. You can't get them to come to your house for anything. They're so busy. But yeah, they're not making so much money. It's like you think they'd be so rich, but they're so busy. See, he's so busy. He's working all the time. But he's not even making a lot of money because he's not so great at it, but he does. He would do like a braid, and then like take a little piece of bread. Anybody understand the significance of that? Mm. He'd do a little thread and then take a piece of bread. He wouldn't sit down for a meal.
Mm-hmm. Always working?
He's always working. He doesn't have time. I don't know. I'm sure there's some like very deep message in there. But however, his ways was besimcha gedola tamid. He's always besimcha. He didn't think about, oh, this is so horrible that I have no time for... I have no time for this, I have no time for that. Mole Simcha Tamid. And if everything to eat, and everything to wear, and everything to drink. Oh wait, time out. Didn't we just say he's poor as anything, he never can eat, and he just takes like a little piece of bread in the middle of his work? And then all of a sudden it says, and he had all the eat, and he had all the drink, and he had all the clothing. What happened?
Maybe inside he had all those things.
Oh. So let's go. Vaya Omer Lishu. He said to his wife, Ishti, my wife, Teni lechol, give me to eat. Vayisa nosen lechaticha lechem lechol v'achal. And he'd give a little piece of bread and eat the piece of bread. Acha kacha ya Omer, Teni arotiv and kitnius. Now pass the beans and the gravy. Vayisa lechatecha rot, and she would cut another piece of bread and give it to him. Vayim shabech v'omer, kama yofet tov mother with that. How great is this gravy? Right, how great are these, how great is this sushi? How great is this, what's a rich kind of food? The eggs?
Caviar.
Caviar,
right?
Romanian
salami.
Chenei mitzavah l'tein lo abasa. She said, now bring out the meat. Bring out the entricot steak. V'shar ma'achol tov m'giot, and all the great foods. V'yad kol ha'maychol v'maychol yasun nesen l'chot chaticha lechem. And what would his wife bring to him?
Bread.
Just bread. They didn't have meat. They didn't have steak. They didn't have fish. They didn't have anything. He would eat the bread. The shibach ma'omodo so it's a Michael. Kamu metukon v'tov. How great! How perfect! Just well, just medium done, not too burnt and not raw. Perfect, he said his wife. What perfect meat that you're making me. Kilo ya ochel so Michael mamish. As if he was eating that food mamish. And be'emes, he would feel that he's eating fancy gravy and fancy steak. Why was he able? Oh, wait, let me go a little further. He would tell his wife, "Give me some beer to drink." And she would give him water. And what would he say?
Yeah.
How great is this beer? It's such a fun, like, what?
That's so drunk.
Great taste, less filling, you know. I taste hints of this and hints of that and hints of that. This. Tainli dvash, give me some honey. And she would give him water. And he says, wow, what tasty dvash. Now it's time for wine. Give me wine. And what would she bring out?
Water.
But he would love it. And he would talk about the wine. What fancy wine. This must have been a sherry casket for 20, 30 years. Wow, what wine. Chebe mabushim, also in terms of clothing. Haylem b'shutafut lo v'ishto pelts. Him and his wife, they shared a pelt. The pelt is a coat. Vayomer ishti, he said, give me my pelts. K'shayetzach lilbosh pelts. Kigol neilech lashuk. V'ayisonet, and she would give him. K'shayetzach lilbosh tulip, but he wanted a tulip. Like, the pelt was like a simple jacket. A tulip is like something over. You ever see Hasidim wear like an extra bekesha over their bekesha?
Yeah.
So it's similar to that. Leilich ben Anoshim, Vayomer ishti, ten li a tulip. And she would give him the pelts, and he would be like, wow, how great is this tulip look? Wow, this is so beautiful. Sheitzorach lekaftan, now he needs a kaftan, a kapata. Right, another fancy, like, long coat. Right, he would say what? But when he would go to the Beit Knesset, he needs his kapata for his Beit Knesset. What would he say to his wife? Wife, bring me the
kapata.
Bring me the kapata, the beautiful kapata. My Shabbos bekesha. And what would she bring him? The pelts, right? That they were like the unisex coat. You know, like that means that it could be man for a man or woman. It wasn't a fancy coat, but right? And what would he say? He says, "Wow, what a beautiful frock! What a beautiful frock! Kama yofa v'na yofa is how beautiful this is." Vayarak male simcha v'ched v'tamik shegomer minal. Okay, fine. Let's stop there for a moment. How did he have? Was he just a total like idiot or what was his secret? Yeah.
He was like the Mishnah and the Avos. That he's happy with his portion.
Right. Sameach b'cholkom. Very good. This is my chaylik. This is what I'm supposed to have. The Chacham, he never knew his chaylik. He was always looking for another chelek. So you can't be sameach b'chelko if you don't know your chelek. So what does it make a difference if I eat this, if I eat that, if I wear this, if I wear that? Obviously, it's a very, very high level. It's a very extreme type of thing. But in our lives, we should all have this feeling of like, this is fine. This is fine. I don't need more than this. I'm happy with this. It doesn't have to be that you're eating bread and you feel you taste meat in it. That's obviously that's the level of like the man in the midbar. What?
I want
to
try it.
You want to try it? Go ahead. Yeah. So what would he do? Vayarak mole simcha v'ched v'tom, he was only happy. A person has a choice to live two types of way. Two types of way of his life of emunah or a life of, what's the opposite of a life of emunah? A life of?
Gaiva.
Of what?
Gaiva. Like
Gaiva. What?
Arrogance.
Fear. Daiga. That will lead to arrogance, but that's our choice. You can live in emunah, saying that everything has to be, this is the way it has to be. Like we saw the highest, highest level with Gabriel Sassoon. That was the highest, highest level of just surrendering to Hashem, of this is the way it has to be. If you don't live like that, it's a life of daiga. I'm like, why didn't I get that job? Why didn't I get that? Why didn't I get into this college? Why didn't I get that wife? Why didn't I get this? It's a real choice. It's black and white here, guys. You live a life of emunah, you live a daiga. If you're not living a life of emunah, you're living a life of daiga. By nature. There's no way in the middle. There's no in the middle. We're either living a life of emunah, that everything that Hashem does is the right thing to do. Right? Vos darvzan is good. What has to be is good. Or we live a life of daiga. Right? Daiga is talad, aleph, gimel, hey. What letter is missing there out of the aleph bet? The first letter is the aleph bet. Talad, aleph, gimel, hey. Bet. Where bet stands for bitachon. There's no bitachon by daiga. But that's our choice in life. Do you want to live a life of emunah? And that's what we see by the Chacham V'tam. Living a life of Emunah, you feel shleimus in everything, even if it's the most smallest thing. Even if not on a great scale, even if you're not a good shoemaker, you feel shleimus in your job. Person of Daigo never feels shleimus. He always feels like, oh no, this may not be worth money, I'm not really good at this, I'm not perfect at this, and so on and so forth. We'll go a little bit on about talking about the simcha that he had even with his bad. Vayarak mole simcha v'ched v'tamid. She'agomer aminal, when he finished the shoe, It was like a rectangular, triangular shoe. It was like a bad shoe, right? Shoe's not supposed to be a triangle, but yet it would like come out like, you know, like a hamantashen. And he would take out the shoe and say, "Wow, what a great shoe!" And he'd go to his wife and he says, "Ishti, kama yofa v'niflamina. Look how beautiful the shoe is. Kama matok kaminalza. How sweet the shoe is. Kama also dvash v'tzukor. It's like dvash. It's like honey and sugar. Kaminalza." She would ask him, how come they sell for much more expensive than you do? If it's such a nice shoe, how come you sell it for so cheap? Everybody else charges so much. Yeah.
I was going to ask, like, at what stage do we present the reality of, like, it's not a good shoe?
Okay, fine. Good. We'll talk about that in a minute. Okay, very, very good. Very, very, very good question. Let's just get the full story and then we'll go back. Hey Shiva, he answered her, Mali Baza. What kind of question are you asking? Ze Masa Shalom. Okay, this is the most famous words of Rabbi Nachman. Ze Masa Shalom. Ze Masa Shali. This is my Maisa and this is his Maisa. Why are you asking me about other people? On one of the buildings in Uman, there's a massive sign, like the whole building is filled with that. Zemasa Shali, Zemasa Shalu, Shalom, Lamu Dabar, Alanashim Achirim. My kids love that line also. Zemasa Shali, they use it the wrong way sometimes. Like, I'm not yelling, how do you do it the wrong way? Zemasa Shali,
No.
That's great. Halunat Kilash of Kam, I mean, don't you realize that I'm getting money for what I'm getting money for? I'm not looking. I mean, as long as I'm making money, he says, or he figures it out. They're still making a profit. He says, as long as I'm making a profit, then I'm making money. Don't ask me those questions. Don't ask me what other people do. How come I'm not making enough as the other Sandler? That's not. You don't have to ask that question. I don't have to answer that. He was only happy the whole time. Okay, so I'm just going to read from Rav Arush the concept of being, that there's an inyan of being happy, simcha, even with your chesronos. We're trained to think and to live a life of that. If we have lackings, fight it. Don't accept it. Fight it. Break it. I think that this is one of the things that the Musar world, They definitely, there was definitely a great awakening, and I think it did a lot in terms of the perfection of Adam and the milas of Adam. But I think that there was something lost in the way, or misunderstood maybe I should say, that people feel that they have to be perfect, and it created like people not being happy because they want to be perfect and they couldn't handle chesronim themselves. But listen to what Rav Arush says about chesronos. If you're not happy with the chesronos you have, and that you don't dance with them, that these chesronos are my shleimus. These chesronos are my shleimus. One second. You didn't reach the nekudas simcha. You're not going to be able to have a real simcha. Every person is filled with shortcomings. You're living on the earth, you have chesronos. We're a tamid mashachosolo. If he doesn't have nekuda to be happy with his chesronos, ulo yachol liot besimcha. Ki kol pam. Every time he hits upon a chisaron, he falls into atzvos. Now, what does this mean to be happy of our chisaronos? Isn't that dangerous? Isn't that dangerous?
Yeah.
Why is it dangerous?
Because if you are happy with your shortcomings, and that kind of leads like a sort of like apathy and lack of self-control.
Right. How does one improve? Wait.
You can keep your standard too low.
Keeping standard too low?
Could fall even lower.
falling even lower for sure. Yeah.
Like if you have an issue, then you need to identify it, and like being happy with it could be like, okay, like I understand this is an issue. You could like laugh about it and like say, okay, like I messed up in this area of my life right now, whatever. And happiness could be also in the way that like you know how to work on it now. You're like, okay, like I have this issue and I'm gonna deal with it.
Okay. Okay. I think I would tweak that a little bit and say that not being happy over your affairs. I didn't go to Minyan. I didn't, so I looked at that. Who cares? You know, there's certain innate chesronos that we have. But like, even if we work really hard, really, really, really hard, we're not going to be really good at that. For example, anything with numbers, I can't think anymore. I'm like the worst at it. I'm like with accountants and things like that. I'm a mess. But okay. I know that's a chisaron of mine. That doesn't mean that I run away with it, but I accept that chisaron of mine. I try to work on it as much as I can to get by, but I know that that's not my thing. Another person's chisaron would be maybe get too intense or something like that. But he should be happy also that he's intense. And like, okay, that has some drawbacks. I mean, we're always trained to run away from chisaronos and perfect ourselves and like that, as opposed to embrace our chisaronos. And to live life despite the fact that I have chesronos. These are my chesronos, and Hashem gave me these chesronos for a certain reason. Maybe it's to work on them, and that me that I should be working the most. Or maybe stop, because that's the way Hashem created me. And to be happy about who I am. Yeah.
Yeah, but also by embracing your chesronos, you're able to focus on what actually makes you happy, what you're actually good at. If you're constantly thinking about, I'm not good at this, I'm not good at that, then you're not being able to influence on why I am created this, and this does make me happy.
Right. Very good. Right. There's a chazal that says, it was a camel who was jealous of a rabbit's ears or something like that. And he was so jealous of the rabbit's ears, finally got the rabbit's ears, but he lost his like big hump. So like he wasn't a camel, and he wasn't a good rabbit either. So he was stuck with nothing. I forgot exactly the animals of it, but chesronos make up who we are also. They're not. Yes, and they may have to be fixed. Yes, they may have to be fixed. But that Weinberg once told me a crazy thing. He said people don't change. He goes, people talk about people changing. People don't change. You can modify a behavior. You can bring a baby, but people don't change. Our chesronos are chesronos. We can, let's say I have a chesron and I'm running a business, but I don't know anything. Numbers, I'm horribly at. I could still run the business, but that doesn't mean I have to become the best mathematician in the world. I have to learn to modify it, to work around it. We have to, but our chisron are also part, we're in Borei Nefasha, what do we say? Borei Nefasha, Rabot v'chesronon, al kol mash baras, Rabot v'chesronon, on our great things, and also chesronos that we have. Because we have to believe that every chisron we have, there's a reason why I'm not good in math. There's a reason why I'm not good in this or this. There's a reason. And that's why you always have to be with good people, because everybody's kind of like, filling in. Let's say the Chacham V'tam. We'll get this a little bit more, but the Chacham is a Oisvar. He's like Bal Gaiva Oisvar. What's his one claim to fame? In the end, who's going to say? Well, we'll see that the Tam saves him. Just the fact that he was being friendly with the Tam, that helped him a lot. That he needed the Tam, and he didn't run away from the Tam. He liked the Tam. We're going to see. They're going to meet soon. And he really liked the Tam. He really. Sometimes, like if you have a chisaron, that means maybe there's a marriage a lot. That it's easy to be married to a person who's going to fill in those chisaronos. Who you feel that they really helped me with my chisaronos. Like they kind of fill in that chisaron. Sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't happen. But to be happy with our chisaronos is a crucial concept. And. Okay, one more idea about being besimcha. Right, this is obviously the place where the headquarters and support Maxis about being besimcha is that it says that the Arizal says that the way he was zochet his madrega be the Arizal because he did simcha his mitzvahs with full simcha. And the Chidah says that a schar of a person's mekabel on doing the mitzvah besimcha. That's a person become a god of al etzem mitzvah. It's the simcha of the mitzvah is even more than the mitzvah itself. And it gives a mashal that if a person's grinding, he's working in a factory, he's grinding. right? Right, and he's not such a good grind. If he does a great grind, if he does, you know, like twice the amount that he was supposed to do, he'll get a raise, he'll get more time, everyone will be praising him, he'll get a medal. But let's say he doesn't do it so well. But he does it for simcha. And the whole time he's laughing and making jokes and making everybody happy around him, but they give him a bonus, but he doesn't do the amount of work that he has to do.
Nice.
Fire him, get out of here. Hey, Joker, get out of here. So the Chida says that by mitzvahs it doesn't work like that. Even if you don't fill the mitzvah till it's full, but you're besimcha on it, you get a schar for the mitzvah. For the schar and the simcha that you're doing the mitzvah. Even though you didn't do it for whatever reason, you weren't able to do it till it's full. You were so besimcha doing it. You showed Hashem, I'm so happy that I get to do this mitzvah.
So it's like you daven but not bisman, and then you...
So that's a little bit dangerous. I don't want to get into that.
Put on your
this is maybe more of an onus type of thing where,
yeah.
But that we're playing a slippery slope once we start saying, oh, so yeah, you know. But the ikar is still the ma'aseh mitzvah. Everybody agrees. But we can't forget that there's great tzchah to do the mitzvah of besimcha. Yeah.
We read a sefer, Siyuchat Vavosh Hashem Kav Jake.
Yeah.
And it brought it up that, like, what's like a greater tzchah? Like, if it's a hardship and you're doing it, or if, like, you're very besimcha and you're doing the mitzvah, like, yeah. What's greater?
I think in terms of the Maisa mitzvah being yotze, the 613 mitzvahs, it's the mitzvah itself. And that's, by the way, the Nefesh HaChaim wrote a whole parak against Chassidus in the Nefesh HaChaim. It's called, I think it's after Shar Gimel, it's called Prakim. And he wrote that there's so much stress that the Chassidim put on the kavan of the mitzvah, they lose out on the Maisa mitzvah. So now we see it's not true anymore. The Chassidim are very medaktik in mitzvahs, very, very medaktik in mitzvahs. And Breslov in particular, really Shulchan Aruch Jews, it's not a joke when the Shulchan Aruch says something. I don't think it is a joke. It's, oh, as long as you're besimcha, it's okay, the shofar's not kosher, but we blow besimcha. No one would ever tell you, no serious chassid will ever tell you that. So,
with Chabad?
Without ignoring, Chabad too, everything that they do, they're basing it on their Shulchan Aruch. They're not doing something outside their Shulchan Aruch. So,
like what's the Mizonos before? Like mizonos before shacharit or like a late midyan.
Again, everything that they hold, they're holding by their shulchan aruch. They're not going against Allah.
Tanya wrote a commentary on shulchan aruch.
Right. Because I talked to some, whatever. I was at the place and I talked to them, and they were like, "Yeah, like you can do it later because like if it's hard and if you're really hungry, you could eat before." And
okay, they're just giving a very watered down like idea what the Bala Tanya brings. But yeah, they're holding by the Rebbe. And we can't change Judaism. That's obviously a very, very bad thing.
Right.
Okay, Beseder, guys.